It's time for another Taco Tuesday. We're going to get together, as we do each week at this time, with Amber Boyens, registered dietitian nutritionist from ImmuNutrition here in Madison, Minnesota. How are you doing, Amber?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good.
We've got a pretty timely topic today.
We do.
And we are going to be talking today about Halloween candy.
Halloween candy.
Everybody likes talking about Halloween candy.
Talking about it, eating it, getting it, handing it out, all the fun things this time of year.
All right. Well, tell us about it. Where do we start?
Yeah. Well, I'm not here to tell people to hand out carrots and celery sticks instead of candy. So we'll start there.
Chickpeas.
Yeah, cans of chickpeas instead of Snickers. So if you were going to turn it off because of that, stay tuned, because we're going to talk about it a little bit differently than that. One of the challenges that people bring into my office a lot, or that come up in conversations just in general, are that people either didn't get as many trick-or-treaters as they were expecting, so now they've got this candy just sitting in their house, or their kids came home with lots of candy.
Buckets of candy.
Absolutely, yeah. A pillowcase full of candy. And they don't know what to do with it. So sometimes people are concerned about their kids eating too much. Sometimes they just on their own have a hard time controlling themselves when there's all that candy in the house. One of our tips, if there's something that you do have a hard time controlling, is often to just keep it out of the house. Easier said than done this time of year when there's candy. And then we're going to roll into all those holidays that surround food all the way until Valentine's Day. So we've got food and candy and chocolate and all that stuff for a few months coming up here. So how can we kind of get this off to a good start? Sometimes people kind of take this perspective of, well, I'll just eat everything now because the sooner I eat it, the sooner it's out of the house. Maybe not the best strategy to take. When we eat it all at once, that's going to have, especially if you're somebody who struggles with blood sugar, if you're on medications for blood sugar, if you have diabetes in your family, anything like that, that strategy of eating it all at once, eating it in a short period of time is not going to help a whole lot.
So, you probably won't feel too good either.
And you're probably not going to feel good. And on top of that, it can lead to the less healthy habit of always having things in the house. So if you get into this routine of just having it all the time after Halloween, then sometimes we start to buy stuff and have it in the house. Now it becomes a habit that we have to break versus one that we maybe didn't have before Halloween. So avoid trying to eat it all at once just to get it out of the house. And whether it's for yourself or for your children, avoid trying to use it as a reward. So a lot of people use candy as a reward for potty training or as a reward for eating enough or as a reward for good behavior. And we talked about this another week, but when we use food, especially treats, as a reward for those different things, it becomes this kind of emotional and psychological desirable thing.
Something you have to have more and more of it, right?
Exactly, yeah. Yes. So it becomes something that makes things better, and that lasts with us well into adulthood. And then we continue to use food as a reward for different things. So trying not to use it as a reward for that, I was just talking, you know, before this, we use like tiny little things of Play-Doh or things like that as a reward instead, and that can be a good strategy. Avoid making it part of your daily routine. And an easy way to do that is don't set it out. So if you have that bowl of Halloween candy that's still just sitting on your counter, you're probably going to grab a piece every time you walk by it. If you have it in a cupboard or in your freezer or something like that, you're not really thinking about it. You're not craving it necessarily because you're looking at it. So you have to go through that extra step of going to it, finding it, opening a cupboard before you have that next piece. So if you do have a hard time controlling yourself, or if kids have a hard time kind of regulating when we have the candy just sitting out, maybe find a little place to tuck it away to make it a little bit less appealing. So some things you can do, if it's candy that you're purchasing for Halloween, for handing it out on Halloween, buy candy you don't love. If you buy your favorite candy and then having it sit around, you're probably going to eat it.
Like circus peanuts and candy corn.
There you go.
Which I happen to like, and a lot of people don't.
Like those. Yeah, so don't buy the things that you really enjoy eating. Buy the things that aren't your favorite, but maybe kids still like, and then it's a little bit easier to say no. You can also take some of that candy and create thank you bags. This is a little bit of kind of making it somebody else's problem instead of your own.
That's a good idea.
But yeah, you're getting it out of your house at least, and the thank you bag can just have a couple pieces of candy in it. a nice little note or a drawing or something like that if it's coming from kids. And then you can hand them out through the month of November to different people who you appreciate and who have been meaningful. Sometimes just that little gift of something to let people know that you're thinking about them and appreciate them can be really meaningful, especially around the holiday season. So those little thank you bags can help get some of the candy out of your house and into somebody else's.
That's a good idea. I think I'll load up a bag and bring it over to Danica and Don Tweet next
door. There you go. I bet they'd appreciate that.
I bet they would.
Yeah.
I'll think about that.
You can even hold on to it for some like Christmas or other celebrations. It avoids having to buy more later. For us, with our kids, we're an allergy family, as we've talked about many times. So we often end up with candy that our kids can't have. So one of the things that we do is we allow them to trade the candy in for like some kind of a small trinket, a coin, safe treats, which can sometimes be a little bit more nourishing than whatever the candy was that they received. But you don't have to be an allergy family to kind of do the whole trade-in method. That can work with any family. And then for the candy that you do choose to keep in the house, that you do choose to eat, that's okay. First of all, there's nothing wrong with keeping that Halloween candy around if you like it, but neutralize it. So rather than making it that reward, rather than making it something really desirable, try to put it on par, psychologically and emotionally at least, with the other foods that you eat. So for example, serving a small piece of candy with a meal instead of having it be a reward at the end of a meal. Because then, even though it isn't as nourishing as those other things, from an emotional and psychological standpoint, it's right there. Kids can choose, you can choose what to eat first. It doesn't make it something that, you know, you have to consume a certain amount in order to get it. So if your kids are those kids that kind of ask for it all the time, which many of them do, they know they came home with a big bucket of candy, avoid labeling it as something bad, because again, that just makes it more desirable. Avoid talking about the negative health effects from a standpoint of like weight gain. We definitely don't need to be talking to children about weight in almost any situation, but that can sometimes be an easy thing to say. If you eat too much candy, you're going to gain weight. That's not the right way to talk about it with kids. So instead, focusing on using language like, we have other food that helps our brain. Candy doesn't really help our brain. It doesn't really help our muscles. It doesn't help anything in our body. It doesn't help make us stronger or remember things or see better. So we need to make sure we're getting enough of those other things that are helpful in addition to the candy that you enjoy. So again, just kind of neutralizing it a little bit and thinking and talking more about the health benefits of other things versus the negative effects of the candy that they're eating. Because that can create, in the long run, those feelings of guilt and shame when they have it. And those are never emotions we want associated with food, especially food that comes from a fun holiday like Halloween.
How about when picking out Halloween candy to hand out? What should they consider there? What would be a good choice?
You know, I always tell people when we're thinking about candy or when we're thinking about sugar, a really good thing that counters sugar is fat. So if you're handing out candy that has a little bit of fat and or protein with it in addition to the sugar, that can be kind of a good way from a nutritional standpoint to reduce the blood sugar impact, reduce the insulin impact a little bit. So that would be things like even Snickers are a little bit higher in protein and fat because they have nuts in them, anything with nut or coconut.
I just had one this morning. I took it off the shelf at the theater.
There you go. Well, that is maybe not the best breakfast.
Yeah. That was my breakfast, yes.
Yeah. But from a nutritional standpoint, you're going to get a little bit more nutritional benefit from something like that that has nuts or coconut in it versus something that's just sugar. Like some of our colorful candy, Skittles, Starburst, things like that tend to not really have any protein or fat. So there's nothing in there that's going to mitigate that blood sugar impact. So I always encourage people, if it has that protein, if it has that fat, and you can always find that on the nutrition facts label, maybe a slightly better choice than some of the things that don't.
All right. Well, a lot of good advice there, as always, Amber.
Well, thank you.
And give them your contact information in case you want to talk about this or any other nutrition subject more.
Absolutely. So you can find me either on Facebook or on my website. Facebook is just IMU Nutrition. If you look that up, it's IMU Nutrition. And then online, imunutrition.com. You can click the little contact me link on there, send me a little message, or you can always reach out here at the radio station and you guys can find me too.
They can like or follow you on Facebook. And
you got it.
Post a lot of good articles and things that will pop up on their Facebook.
Absolutely. All sorts of information, not just around food allergies or sugar, but anything they're interested in, we'll talk about.
Very good. Well, Amber, thank you much, and we will chat again next Tuesday on another edition of Taco Tuesday here on Q92.
Thanks.